Amen. All right. Thank you for standing. Just remain standing, if you will, and turn in your Bible to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. I appreciate those songs about the blood. Amen. And thank God, as I said already, for the blood of Jesus, that it does wash our sins away. It's the only thing that could wash our sins away. Amen. Well, let me say, while you turn, look in Psalm 24, and then also, if you will, turn to Job chapter number 1. Hold your place in Job 1, and I'll give you a moment, then I'll give you a third place to turn. I'm going to read from three texts. I'm going to preach a topical message tonight by the help of the Lord. Psalm 34, Job chapter 1, and also 1 Thessalonians. It's in the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. While you're finding all these places and marking them, holding them, however it is, I know that we're coming up on the end of this month, and some call the last day of this month a holiday. It's not a holiday by any means, because a holiday is a holy day. That's the idea of a holiday. And it's not a holy day. It's a day set aside for unholiness. And we don't recognize it. When I was at Vision, we always had a service. I probably mentioned it. We just always had a service. It didn't matter what night, what day of the week it fell on. We'd just have a meeting. A lot of times I'd have somebody else come in and preach. And we'd just have a meeting. And we just called it the last day of October meeting. Amen. Dad and them had a service one time, and they called it a Neowalla party. A Neowalla, because that's Halloween spelled backwards. They said the devil likes things backwards. Let's turn him around. And so they called it a Neowalla party. We didn't. We just had meeting. It wasn't a party. I know some churches have, you know, trunk or treat rather than trick or treat, and on things that go with that. I'm not going to take a sermon and just preach against it, although I think could be. The Bible talks about, not learning the way of the heathen. I said that the other day. The Bible talks about the works of darkness and the way of darkness and a world of darkness. And Christians ought to have nothing to do with that. Really? Amen. Have nothing to do with it. And I don't want to build up those things, but we're headed on another holiday. Brother Bell touched on it this morning. That he said Walmart doesn't celebrate Thanksgiving. They jump straight from Halloween to Christmas. And most stores do that. He said, Dollar General went from Halloween stuff to Christmas stuff. I am a little bit amazed at people that spend a lot of money decorating their yard with Halloween things. That is a little bit amazing to me. One of my daughter-in-laws made the comment. She said, have you ever noticed people that put the most money out in that stuff, their yard could use that money a lot better ways. And that's probably right. Just to be honest with you, that's probably right. But we're coming on the holiday of Thanksgiving. If there's anybody in the world ought to be thankful, ought to be us. Those that are saved. I said this morning about we've been forgiven, we ought to be forgiving. But we have been forgiven so much, we ought to be thankful. God has given us so much, has done so much for us, that we ought to be thankful. That's what I want to preach on tonight, by the help of the Lord. Not a long message, just a thought that I hope will be helpful to us. I want to preach on thankfulness in all things. Brother Bell touched on a little bit this morning when he read there in Philippians chapter 4, where it talked about in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request be known unto God. Here's my text. First of all, Psalm 34, verse number 1. This is a psalm of David. The Bible said when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. Here's what he said. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now here's what the psalmist said. The psalmist said, I'm going to praise God all the time. That's the way we'd say it in our common language. At all times, he said, I'm going to praise the Lord. Now turn back to
First Thessalonians, we'll go there first. Chapter 5 and verse number 18. The writer of the epistle to the Thessalonians, I believe the Apostle Paul, said in verse number 18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We're going to look at all these now back at Job chapter 1. A familiar verse that we don't think on a lot in this frame. But Job chapter 1 verse 20. After Job had heard the bad news and he fell on the ground and worshiped God, he said, verse 21, "And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Job said, "I'm going to bless him when he gave, and I'm going to bless him when he takes away. I'm going to bless him in all things." Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Joshua, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Lord, we want to thank you again for this day. We want to thank you for this opportunity to come to your house this evening. Lord,
yes. Thank you
for the Thanksgiving that is coming up. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be thankful for you. I pray you'd help in the service tonight. I pray you'd help Daddy as he preaches, and that you'd give us ears to hear what you'd have for us to hear, Lord. I pray that you would save those that might be lost among us.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. You know, the Bible is filled with admonitions and exhortations to us, telling us that we ought to be thankful and that we ought to praise God. I believe that the most repeated commandment in the Bible is praise ye the Lord. The most broken commandment in the Bible is praise ye the Lord. Amen. Most neglected. We fail to do that so often. But as we look at these and just in the realm of the way I pulled them from the scriptures, the way God gave them to me, we started with Psalmist David. And in his characteristic exuberance, I picture David as a very exuberant young man, especially in his youth. David being a young man that praised God. And he wrote it more than anybody else I know of in the scripture about praising God. So I see in this characteristic of him, in his exuberance, David just volunteers and David says, "I'm going to praise God at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." He informs us he has the intent to constantly bless God. By the way, that ought to be our desire. We ought to never, never want to displease our God. We ought to want to please Him. We ought to want to bless Him, right? But David said, "I'm going to make it an effort. I'm going to put forth an effort. I'm going to make it a thing in my life that is something I'm going to do. I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. I intend to constantly be blessing and praising our God." By the way, that would serve to be a good example to you and I, and a good admonition to you and I as well. I was telling Brother Steve some time ago about something I read, and I don't remember where I read it. I think I read it. It might be that I heard somebody say it. I believe that's right. I believe I heard somebody say it, and I've not found it in print. But a man by the name of Billy Bray, we were talking about it. He looked him up and found something about him. Billy Bray, I don't remember now what he was. He wasn't a Baptist. But Billy Bray was a man that had gotten saved. He was a poor man. He was an illiterate man. But he was an exuberant man. And they said that he had somebody write out on a slip of paper, "Praise the Lord." No, on one slip of paper he had somebody write, "Glory." And on another slip of paper, he had him write, "Hallelujah." He put the word "glory" in his left shoe. He put the word "hallelujah" in his right shoe. And that as he would walk, he would say, "Glory, hallelujah.
Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. And that was just his way. Go down the street. People, of course, would mock him. It didn't matter to him. He just kept praising God. Anyway, somebody said something to Mr. Spurgeon about it, knowing that he was more of an austere man. And they said to Mr. Spurgeon, said, "What do you think about this young Billy Bray?" And they said, Spurgeon said, "Maybe not the way I would do it, but my sentiments exactly." That's what he said. Amen. Well, we ought to be living in such a way to praise God with every step. Praise God with everything that comes our way. That's what he's talking about. And so he said, it's going to be my mindset to pray or to bless the Lord at all times. And it's going to be my mindset to praise Him continually with my mouth. Now, you can bless Him with thoughts. You can bless Him with an upraised hand. You can bless Him in a lot of different ways, but you praise Him with your mouth. And that's what he said he's going to do, and he did that. Then the Holy Ghost, by the pen of the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians, gives us the fact that Paul enjoins these people that one of the things they should do is to give thanks. And he said, matter of fact, you ought to give thanks in everything. You ought to give thanks. And he says, the reason being because it is the will of God. Amen. Amen. And so he tells us that in every situation and in every circumstance, there ought to be something we can find to praise God for. Now, three things I want to say about this verse in 1 Thessalonians before I go into my message. It's just introduction. But notice in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 again, we'll look at that. He said, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Excuse me. Notice that God commanded us in everything give thanks, not for everything give thanks. I read a book one time, and I still remember who wrote the book, but at least I remember his first name, and I think I could get the right name. A couple of men by the same first name. But this man was more of the charismatic branch, and he said that you ought to thank God for everything. And he told a story about how that his eldest son had went off and was living wicked and had left his house. And on Thanksgiving, his boy came home and had Thanksgiving dinner with him. And he said he stood up, and these are his words. He said, I knew God has put me to the test. What he said, I got to thank God for everything. So he stood up and he said, "Lord, I want to thank you that my boy's home. And I want to thank you that he's a long-haired hippie. I couldn't thank God for that. And I don't think God wants to be thanked for that." It's not God's fault that he's a long-haired hippie, by the way. No. What he could have said, and should have said probably, "Thank God you brought him home. Now, Lord, if you'd hip him, clean up and get a haircut." Amen. That'd be all right. But he took it to the extreme to say, for everything give thanks. But that's not what the Bible said. Now, I don't know what other versions. I didn't look up to see. He may have been using a version that did say that. I don't know if they do or not. But God does not tell us for everything to give thanks, because sometimes we can't necessarily be thankful and be honest for everything. Amen. I'll tell you another little story that's funny that goes along with that. A man, he's passed away now, but my wife and I, Melissa probably remembers him telling this story. This man worked in a gas station in Miller's Creek, right not far from our church. And when Melissa and I first got married, I'd stop in there some. I had regularly as a boy, and Dad even had filled in for him, worked there some. This man was a real store man. I mean, he could sell ice cubes to an Eskimo. You know, he was just a real store man. He is a talker. He never met a stranger. He was just an outgoing fella. And Melissa and I hadn't been married long, and I don't remember now how came in, whether it was an anniversary gift or a Christmas gift. But anyway, got talking about Christmas gifts. He said his wife one year gave him a pair of the ugliest plaid polyester pants you've ever seen. And he said, "I thanked her for them, but I didn't want to." He said, "I folded them up and put them in the top shelf of our closet." He said, "Do you know what I got on Father's Day? Those same pants." He said, "I thanked her for them. I folded them up and put them in the shelf." He said, "Do you know what I got on my birthday? Those pants again." He said, "I finally learned my lesson the third time." He said, "I didn't put them back in the shelf." He said, "I threw them in the trash." Amen. But his point was, he couldn't really say, well, I want to thank you for this, boy. Ain't this nice, when he didn't really feel like it was very nice. Amen. And God's smarter than that. God don't want us playing the hypocrite. Amen. Matter of fact, God don't even want us falsely praising him. Amen. So he didn't say for everything, but he did say in everything. In other words, there are some things for which we may not be grateful for that. Amen. But there's no time, situation, or circumstance when we ought to murmur about even the things we're not grateful for. Amen. In other words, we shouldn't be complaining, but somewhere in there we can find something for which to give God thanks. Amen. For example, if your wife bought you those plaid polyester pants, you can say, Lord, I want to thank you. This ain't two pairs. Amen. It's just one. Amen. Two of them take up more room in the trash. Amen. Seriously, there's something we can thank him in and not for everything. Then, not only notice that it didn't say for everything, but notice that the Bible didn't simply say be thankful in everything. He said, give thanks in everything. In everything, give thanks. We're not only required to feel grateful, we're required to express our gratefulness. Amen. It's sad to live in a day when people are unthankful. Amen. When you see people blessed in so abundance, and yet they never even say thank you. Never seem to respond to anything there. They never seem to feel it, let alone say it. But our God said we ought to feel it, but we also ought to say, we ought to voice our gratefulness at all times. Amen. And then the third thing, introduction here in this verse number 18, notice the purpose, the reason why we ought to give thanks. He said, because that's the will of God. That's the will of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. So here's the thing. We ought to give thanks even when we don't feel like it. Because He willed that we give thanks. We ought to give thanks even when we don't wish to be grateful. Amen. Because we're not supposed to be grateful on our wishes. We're supposed to be grateful on His will. And He willed it. Amen. I'll give you another illustration. That's funny, and I may have used this illustration before. I know I have in obedience, talking about obedience to family, to parents. When, and I could use things that's happened since Aria's been here, but in an account that our youngest son Ben, when Ben was just a little boy, I think he was just about 2 years old. He couldn't talk plain, just walking good, and it's time to go in church, and he didn't want to go in. I said, come on, kids, it's time to go in church. And Ben said, I don't want to. He couldn't say won't. He said, I don't want to, Daddy. I said, all right, let me help you want to. I started down there to him, and when I got to him, Ben put both his hands on his backside and said, I want to now, Daddy, I want to now. He's ready to go in church. Well, here was the thing. He wasn't wanting to on his wishes. He is wanting to on my will. Right? That is right. Sometimes Dad used to say to me and my brother when we was little, he'd say, on Sunday afternoon especially, he'd say, boys, wouldn't it be nice for y'all to volunteer to wash dishes for your mama so she didn't have to wash dishes today? I never did it on my wish. Never. Not one time did it on my wish. But sometimes I'd do it on his will. Matter of fact, I never said no. You can tell because I still got all my teeth. Amen. When he said, wouldn't it be nice? It seemed like that was a nice thing to do. Amen. But the truth is here, God's saying, this is not just a father. This is not just a parent. This is our God saying, this is my will for you, is that you are grateful, that you are thankful, that you not only feel it, but you express your thanks at all times in everything that you're giving thanks. Oh my, that's pretty hard to do. At times. Now we're ready to go back to the book of Job, chapter number 1. You know and I know the story of the book of Job. It's not a time that Job's under the spout where the glory is running out. It's not a time when Job's in camp meeting and everybody else is running the aisles and he thinks he'll run too. It's not where Job's at. Job's in a place of great difficulty. Job's in a place of great quandary. I mean, why is this happening to him? It's not because of sin, although that's what others are going to say about it down the road. But Job comes to a place where in one day's time, he loses all of his financial holdings. He loses all of his wealth and stand and that, but he then loses his family. And Job's in this hard, hard, hard place. And he says in our text here, Job chapter number 1 and verse number 20. Well, look back at verse 20. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. Whew. I preached a message one time here from that text. In times like these, worship is in order. Amen. Even in times like these. He worshiped and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Which was what the devil was after, by the way. Trying to get Job to curse with his mouth. Curse God to his face. Rather than curse God, Job blessed God. Now I'm going to ask you a question. And I want you to just think about it. When you see God face to face, what else could you do but bless Him? You couldn't look in the eyes of the Savior and curse Him. I know people do, but it's because they're not really looking in His eyes. I don't know how you could come face to face with God. And I know sometimes, like I said it in the prayer time there, that sometimes things happen, especially like they've happened in this particular case, that cause people to question. And sometimes I have known people to literally get bitter on God. How could you do that when you recognize how good God has been overall? Amen. We may have a bitter pill to swallow, but what's one bitter pill when God's fed us so many wondrous meals? When God's blessed our mouth, filled our mouth with good things down the road. What's one bitter pill? Amen. I know that's easier to preach than it is to live. But it's still true. And if we'd get that in our mind, if we'd think on those things sometimes, and be reminded of those things sometimes, it would help us. Amen. So I'm talking about praising God in all things. And my first point is this. Bless the name of the Lord. When He reveals His hand in giving, that's what Job did. First of all, he said, "I'm going to bless the Lord because the Lord hath given." Verse 21. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So he blessed God when God gave. Amen. By the way, that is the primary motivation for giving thanks. When somebody gives you something, you say, "Thank you." That's the primary motivation. Amen. God has been giving us blessings day by day. Amen. He doesn't always do it like the pizza delivery man that comes and rings your doorbell and says, "Here's the pizza that you asked for." So often the doorbell never rings and yet God delivers things we've prayed about, asked for, or maybe never even asked for, just thought about. God just blesses us again and again and again. And He gives and He gives and He gives. Again, I preached another message years ago. I preached it out at Brother Milby's camp meeting in Romans 8:32, where the Bible says, He that spared not His own Son, that's the verse, "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things?" And I titled it, "The Greatest Giver on Earth," and that is God. Amen. He's the greatest giver that ever gave. But God has given, therefore, we ought to return thanks. We ought to give thanks. Amen. But can I tell you, it's probably not as simple as it might seem to thank God when He gives. Because He gives so much that we don't even notice So often we don't even notice what He gives. Amen. We have others in our life the same way, to be honest with you. Brother Bell mentioned this morning about Joshua. He was listening to him on Friday morning going into work, and there was a song playing. I don't know if he'd played IOUs to Mama by the Florida Boys, but he said that song came to his mind. Maybe something else led him to that. And he got to thinking about how much he owed his mama. Got to thinking about things that probably he hadn't thought a whole lot about on every day by day thing. Amen. There are people in our life that do so much for us that we don't even notice that they do so much for us. Amen. God gives us so many wonderful things. He does it over and over and over again and blesses us so much that so many times we're actually unthankful. I've said this before. I'll say it again because I believe it's right. Sometimes unthankfulness is not because we're ungrateful. It's because we're unthoughtful. Thinking will promote thanking. I believe that. And I believe that's a good thing for us to remember. We probably would bless the Lord for His gifts if we recognized His gifts a little bit more regularly. Amen. Somebody said, I read this, I thought it was pretty good, said most people could learn a lesson on Thanksgiving by taking a trip through the barnyard. Just go to the farm and notice that the hogs eat and holler and swallow and carry on and never look up. But the chicken won't drink one drink of water without raising his head. God made him that way, by the way. Amen. Well, I don't know. But truth is, I don't want to be like a hog. Amen. I don't want to be one that just rakes in and rakes in and rakes in the blessings of God and never returns thanks, never says, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Amen. So I say it do us all good to take some time and to consider how blessed we are. Think about the wonderful blessings of God, how good God's been, what a giver our God is. Amen. Amen. I know we're coming upon Thanksgiving Day, a day when Americans set aside one day a year. I think it'd probably be better to do a little bit better than that. Amen. More than just one day a year. I mean, how many of you women are saying, honey, you've told me you love me. You told me that last year. Don't bother with it again until next year. Yeah, we'd sign up for it. Because we ain't too good at it sometimes. You're right. But no, the women don't do that. Matter of fact, they don't just want to hear it once a month, do they? Not even just once a week. What do you think about our God? I mean, and our wives do so much for us. Amen. And they deserve so much thanks. Amen. Sure they do. But we neglect it. We don't think about it. Now, we do have one day a year set aside for that too. Amen. Mother's Day or the anniversary or Valentine's Day. So maybe we got more than one day set aside for that. So I'm saying for our God, God way excels a wife. God way excels a mama. God way excels anybody. I'll do better than just one day a year. And a lot of people, that day of the year, all they're thinking about is eating turkey and watching football. And then go get some more leftover turkey. That's about all they're thinking about. Let me mention some things about this. Giving thanks when God gives. When God reveals His hand. By the way, we see God sometimes by Him revealing His hand in what He gives to us and how He gives to us. I mentioned the thing about the blood. When you think about, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? What can wash away my sin? The song said, nothing but the blood. And I said it in my prayer, we could never have provided that blood. So we owe it all to God. God's requirement we couldn't meet. We had no way of meeting one iota, not one little speck of what God required. But God provided it all. We see God revealed in giving that to us. Well, when I think about this, when we give thanks, it's going to require two things, I believe. First of all, it's going to require an effort.
It's going to require an effort. Because, I don't think this will shock you, but we're humans. And I really don't believe that thankfulness comes natural to most humans. I think if we're going to be thankful, we're going to probably have to work on it. Amen. Again, it's because most of the time we don't notice the blessings of God. Not only will it require an effort, but it'll also produce an effect. You see, a grateful frame of mind is a happy frame of mind. Amen. I believe the opposite's true. I believe a murmuring frame of mind is a sad frame of mind. Amen. But when we give thanks to God, it not only blesses the Savior, and it not only blesses His heart, but it blesses our heart as well. It's good for us to give thanks. Amen. Thinking good thoughts will even display a better countenance on a person's face. Do you know sometimes you can almost tell what people are thinking by the look on their face? You can see a cloud. I mean, you can even tell when they're not thinking just by the look on their face. Amen. But when you can see almost like a cloud come over people's face, you know they've thought of something they'd probably rather not be thinking about. They thought of something that wasn't pleasant. They thought of something that wasn't good. And you can sense that on their face. Can I tell you, we can determine a whole lot of what we think on. Now, amen. We can't stop thoughts coming into our mind, but we can control what we think on. I was reading a commentary. I don't remember now who it was. One of the old Puritan commentaries that I was reading over the weekend. And this man made this statement. And I'm going to tell you the statement. We've all heard it. I thought it was probably in our modern day. But he said Martin Luther made the statement. And he said Martin Luther was, and that's coming up October 31st too, by the way, the big Reformation Day. I'm not big on that. I'm not in the Reformation. I'm Baptist. Amen. We didn't come out of the Catholic Church, and I'm glad for that. That don't make me better than them, but I thank God for that. Amen. I'm not ashamed of that. But anyway, back to Martin Luther. Martin Luther back in whatever, whenever that was, 1500s or, I think, was quoting somebody way on beyond him. Back behind him. And here's what he said. He said, we can't stop a bird from flying over our head, but we can stop them from building a nest in our hair. I remember hearing that when I was a boy, talking about impure thoughts. We can't stop a bird from flying over our head, but we can stop them from building a nest in our hair. And back 500 years ago, a man was quoting it and said that was an old quote. Now here's what I'm saying. If it works for impure thoughts, it also works for good thoughts. Or it works for any kind of thoughts. Thoughts that run through our mind, we can choose what we build our nest out of. We can choose what we meditate on and what we think on. And so it will require some effort, but it will produce an effect when we do that. I believe good thoughts bring a better countenance to our face. Good thoughts lower your blood pressure. Amen. You've heard me tell it. I think that when Brother Steve called me back and said, Brother Shepherd, I know Brother Hall has talked to you about would you be interested in taking our church, and you said you wasn't interested. He said, would you be willing to pray about it? Think on it seriously. Maybe take some time and fast and pray about it. I was on my way to the doctor's office when he called me. When I got there, my blood pressure was sky high. It's so high, the doctor checked it and said, you sit there a while, I'm going to come back and check it again. And they come back and checked it again. Then they told me to lay down. And they had me lay down on my belly. And here's what she said. She said, preacher, I don't know what you're thinking about, but you're going to have to quit thinking about it. That's what she said. She understood that somehow your thought process can lower your blood pressure. Some thoughts can raise it. That's right. Amen. When she said that about, I didn't know my blood pressure was high. I didn't feel it. But she said that, and I told her, I said, ma'am, I can't. And now I look back, I know what God was already working in that thing. Amen. So, anyway, if I die of high blood pressure, as Steve called it, caused it. Amen.
And he's been trying to help me with that too. Keep on with it. But, oh man. But seriously, this thing about thoughts, our good thoughts help our faith. It helps us have a better countenance. Good thoughts lower our blood pressure. Good thoughts send things through our body that is helpful. Matter of fact, the Bible says it, and Brother Doug loves this verse, Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth up the bones. It is good to think of good thoughts. So here's, the psalmist said, I'm going to praise God at all times. That's a good thought. That'll help you. It'll help your countenance. It'll help your blood pressure. It may help you live longer to praise God. Thank Him. Bless the name of the Lord when He reveals His hand and given. But here's the second one, and this may be more difficult. Bless the name of the Lord when He reveals His hand in taking away. It may be that He's not just revealing His hand. It may be that He's revealing His grace when He takes something away. Amen. Now, most people would agree and say that it's certainly easier to give thanks for giving than it is for taking. But I contend that it's often only when things are taken that we recognize how much thanks should be given. Sometimes you don't recognize how blessed you are until those blessings start dwindling away. Amen. I'll give you an illustration. Ari is here with us. Ari is full of energy. Ari is full of flexibility. I mean, she can bend and twist and turn the most of anybody you've ever seen. I mean, the easiest of anybody you've ever seen. She's got good health, but she don't run around saying, "Boy, I want to thank God I had a good day today." But when you start having bad days, when good health starts slipping away, all of a sudden you start being thankful for every good day. When your joints don't ache, you don't think about it, that they don't ache. But when they have been aching for a while, you think about it when they don't ache. You start giving thanks unto God. After things start being taken away, then all of a sudden we start thanking God. Amen. Now, and I don't know how it might be, but I will say this. Perhaps if we would thank God more when He's given, we wouldn't have to spend the time thanking Him that He's taken. And I'm just throwing it out as a possibility. A lot of people, when they've got health, they don't recognize it. But when they lose it, they start thanking God for their health. When they've got wealth, they don't recognize it. But when things get tight, when a need arises and you don't know how you're going to meet that need, and then God meets the need, you recognize it. You recognize it. And so it's in those times that things are taken away that we think to praise God and thank God for what He's given. Now, I want you to notice here about Job. Here in Job chapter 1, Job has lived a very dedicated life. Job's a very religious man. He's a good man. Matter of fact, so good that God bragged on him to the devil. Amen. Dedicated man. I imagine, I don't know much about Job before chapter 1. We don't know anything about him. But I imagine Job had prayed many a prayer. I imagine Job had sacrificed many a sacrificial offering. I imagine Job was a very dedicated man to God. I'll just say it that way. But when tragedy struck, when everything's gone, and there's no more lambs to offer for a burnt offering, there's no more bullocks to put on the fire, Job recognized God was good when He gave it, and God's still good even though He's taking it away. Amen. Here's an amazing thing. You can study your Bible from Genesis to Job, and you'll never find the phrase, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." Creation, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Israel, all the way to the book of Job, you won't find the phrase, "Blessed be the name of the Lord," until you get to Job. And you don't find it written, recorded, out of the mouth of Job until everything has come down to zero. Until there's the flat line on Job's economic blood pressure. Amen. Everything seems to be taken away, and all of a sudden this phrase comes, blessed be the name of the Lord. Here, it seems to me like perhaps it took this tragedy, even for Job, to recognize how good God was. God was good when I was born and didn't have a thing. And God will be good when I die and don't have a thing. Amen. Naked came I into this world. Naked shall I return thither. Amen. Job recognized how good God was. He noticed that God was good in the good times. And God's still good in the bad times. Amen. Job, by the way, learned his lesson well. He learned his lesson so well that he's able to teach his wife. If you'll turn over to chapter number 2, she didn't understand what's going on either. Again, I think she was no doubt a good woman. Chapter 2, verse number 9. After Job's suffering in his flesh now, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. Here's the lesson he learned. God was good when he was given, and he's still good when he's taken away. God's good when we think he's good, and God's good when we don't think he's good. That's what the psalmist, that's what Job, excuse me, is saying there. Now, two things that I want you to think about. Giving thanks when God reveals His grace by taking away from us. Giving thanks. Even in the bad times, if I could say it that way. Number one, again, it's going to go against the nature of our flesh. Just like it's not natural for us to just to be thankful, it's certainly not natural for us to be thankful when it seems like the tide is turned against us. Right? When it seems like things are going down, we're not so thankful. So if we're going to be thankful, like the psalmist said, I'm going to bless the Lord at all times, then there's going to be days that's going to take some extra effort. It's going to take effort anyway, but there's some days it's going to take even more effort just to keep being thankful. Amen. Just to keep being thankful. Have you experienced that? Moms, you've experienced it. Wives have experienced it. Dads have experienced it. We've experienced days when we've got a job to do, and sometimes we can do it with a smile, and sometimes we might not be able to smile, but we're doing our best not to frown, because we're going to do what God's told us to do. Amen. And that's the way we ought to be, by the way. Even if we can't necessarily smile, we ought not be frowning and carrying on and grumbling against God. Amen. We've got a job to do, just do it. But some days takes more effort than other days do. Amen. Amen. I mentioned to you that most of us don't naturally even notice the blessings of God. But we do notice when we have pain. We do notice when things go against us. Maybe we didn't notice when God was given. But we do notice when He starts taking away. Amen. It's going to go against the nature of our flesh. But secondly, and here's the good one. It's going to show forth the nature of our faith. It's going to show forth the nature of our faith. Job was not in his storm alone. He failed alone, but there's people watching him. Matter of fact, you've watched him and I've watched him. Numbers of times we've watched him. And God put him in the Bible so we could see how Job came through this trial. Can I tell you, you and I, when our trials come, we may feel like we're all alone, but somebody's watching. There may be several people watching. Maybe little boys and girls. It may be neighbors. It may be co-workers. Maybe fellow church members. But when we go through storms, there's people watching us as well. Amen. And almost everybody understands us giving thanks when it goes our way. But they can't understand us still believing God, loving God, serving God, and maybe even blessing God when it's not going our way. See how easy it is to thank God even when things when things do go your way. How easy it is to thank God when things do go your way. You remember Madeline O'Hara? Fought to have prayer taken out of school in Maryland and got it across the whole United States Supreme Court. When she won her case, she's an atheist, by the way. That was her argument. She didn't believe in God. It was an offense to her because of her boy having to pray in school every day, have Bible reading and pray in school. And so she fought to have it taken out of the way. When she won her case, you know her first words? Thank God. That's what she said. Literally, that's what she said. She didn't even believe in God. But it's just natural to be thankful when it's going your way. So even an atheist can thank God when it's going their way. Don't you think it ought to be something that shows some part of Christianity when we can thank God even though it's not going our way? When we can show that God's still a good God. We see the faith of Job. That's what stands out to me in the life of Job. Job retained his integrity. Job was a man of faith. He believed God even though he didn't understand God. He believed God. He was for God even though it looked like God was against him. Amen. He is not going to give up on God although it looked like God had given up on him. Job was a man of great faith and he showed his faith by praising God and blessing God even when God was taken away and when he didn't understand. Amen. Matter of fact, that's exactly why God gave us the story. If you want to turn to James, I've got several verses of Scripture. I'll look at these verses of Scripture and close her down. James chapter 5. James chapter number 5. Let me say while you're finding your place, my message tonight, not part of a series, has been working on a lot. This is not just a filler message. This is a important message. This is something that will help us down the road if we'll let it. James chapter 5, verse number 11. James said this, "Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of a tender mercy." You know what he said? He said God showed us something about himself by letting us see Job go through a storm. When you go through a storm, when I go through a storm, let me say it this way. When we go through a storm, it may not even be about us. It may be about somebody else out yonder somewhere that needs to see the hand of God. And they'll never see it unless they see us in a storm. I think about, a lot of times it's not in my text, my scriptures that I've got, but you remember when Nebuchadnezzar threw the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace and he looked in and he said, "Behold, I see four men loose in the fire." He said, "And the fourth is like unto the Son of God." I don't know that Nebuchadnezzar would have ever seen God if he hadn't seen him when them three boys was in the fire. If he hadn't seen that, they had the faith and they had the confidence to go through that storm. If you're in James 5, turn back just a few pages to Hebrews 13. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5. "Let your conversation be without covetousness." Well, that's a good verse around Christmas time. "Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." You know what he said? When you don't have nothing, be content with it because you've got him. He's still there. When you've got everything, be content with it because you've got him. It's not what you have besides him. It's that you've got him that ought to cause us to be content. Philippians chapter number 4 goes right along the same thought process. Philippians chapter 4, the writings of the Apostle Paul, verse number 11. I'm not going to read what Brother Doug read this morning. He read 6 and 7. I'm going to go down to verse 11. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 11. He says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, need," he's talking about doing without, For I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You know what Paul's saying? Paul's saying to us here, up or down, good or bad, be content and give God the praise. Be thankful in everything, give thanks. Be thankful at all times. Let the praise of God be in our mouth at all times. Turn back to Romans chapter 5, and while you're turning, and I'll turn as well, I'm going to read you James chapter 1. That's going the opposite direction, so I won't have you turn there. James said in James chapter 1, verse 2, he said, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing." Amen. You know what he's saying? He's saying, when these things come, let God use it to bring you to a place where you can glorify Him at all times. All right, chapter 5 of Romans, verse 3. "And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also." Oh, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. Paul saying, even when the props are knocked out from under us, we glory in tribulations also. Why? Because we have some knowledge. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given us. Amen. You know what I believe that Paul's saying there? Paul's saying whether things are going good or whether they're going bad, even in the bad times, we can praise Him because we've got the Holy Ghost on the inside. We've got the love of God shed abroad in our heart. God has been so good to us. Amen. God has been so good to us. Do you think you could go a day, live one day, let's say, you could live one day on bread and water? Stale bread and fresh water. I'll say it that way. You think you could, if you knew that for the rest of your life, you're just going to live on steak and eggs and, amen, honey and milk and good things. You say, I can make it one day. Could you do it without grumbling? If you knew that out yonder, the rest of your days, and you know where I'm headed with that. This ain't even a day in the spectrum of eternity. Our whole life is less than a day in the spectrum of eternity. And the troubles we face here are not even worthy to be compared to the glory that awaits us out yonder in glory, the Bible talks about. Amen. These things, so what should we do? We shouldn't grumble and complain and get all out of frame in these little troubles for this little time. When we realize what all God's done for us that we've got waiting on the other side. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, you don't have to turn because you know it. Matthew 5:16. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." People are watching. They're watching us. Can we say, as the psalmist said, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my lips." Can we say, "The Lord hath given, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Can we in everything give thanks, knowing that this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you? Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed, and I'm going to ask some questions, some thoughts in the invitation time. I mentioned people are watching our life. When they see our life, what does our life say to them about our God? When they see how we respond to good times, when they see how we respond to bad times, what does that say to them about our God? Because we're epistles known and read of all men. They're watching our life. And they're trying to determine if there's anything real about this Christianity we talk about, or if it's all a hoax. They're trying to determine, is there anything that we've got that's more than what they've got? Is it real? What does our life say? Heavenly Father, would you please help us here in this invitation time, Lord, to obey you. I have to say, Lord, forgive me for my unthoughtfulness that has produced an unthankfulness. Lord, I think about this at times, and I try to work on it at times, but I'm not good at it, and I ask you, Father, to help me and forgive me. Lord, I'd like to be like the psalmist, that I could say, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That psalm goes on to talk about this poor man cried, the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Lord, I can say that. Help me to be able to go back and say the other. You've been so good to me. I ought to be thankful. But Lord, help me to learn the lesson. Help us learn the lesson, not just to give thanks when the sun's shining. Help us to give thanks when the storms are raging. Help us, dear God, to be able to recognize your goodness when we're glad. But help us, dear God, to be able to see your goodness even when we're sad. That we could give you the praise you deserve. I pray, dear God, work on us in that. Help us to mature. Help us, dear God, to grow. Help us to excel, even to be that perfect man you talked about. As Job was, help us to be. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We're going to sing, and if the Lord spoke to you and you need to come, just obey the Lord. Do what He says to do.
157.
157. While we sing, obey the Lord.